Prayer meeting will be at 7, from 7 to whenever. And then the next weekend, July the 1st and the 2nd, will be our annual, 52nd annual anniversary meeting. July the 4th on a Tuesday, so we couldn't have it on July the 4th. So we're having it July 1st and 2nd. Brother Jewel Forney will be here Saturday. We're probably going to have it at about 6 o'clock. And then Sunday will be Brother Mike Altig. We'll have one service, and we will have a catered meal afterwards. Where's my sister Anna? Did you? Not yet? Okay. Well, we've got a few weeks, but there'll be a it'll be a catering truck that'll be outside. And usually in July, what do we get together and do? We eat hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that. So we're not going to have steak and potatoes. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff, French fries and all that. But you'll get a list of what they have. You'll place your order for you and your family, and then they'll call your name out, and you come and get your stuff and then come back in here and eat, because it'll be a trailer out here. That way there's nothing inside here. They'll be outside in the parking lot. So we're going to try that and see how that'll work, a little bit more festive for July the 4th. And it will take off the sisters, too. They'll be cleaning all that up out there. We'll just have to keep clean what's inside. So remember that. That'll be July the 1st and 2nd. And I know some of you are going to be gone to BYC, which is fine. We do a lot of things for the kids, and we want to make sure the kids get taken care of. All right, so, and then also July 14, 15, 16 will be at Brother Andre Head's. There will be church service here also, but sign up if you're going for rooms that we can get to accommodate everybody. And remember that Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us. So all minds clear, everything good. Appreciate you listening this morning. I that was all said from my heart. It's something that I like to do. I like to have fellowship. And just to reiterate what I was talking about, you know, if you take a church that's real small, and there are small churches around us, they can't afford to have things. Okay? They can't afford to have a special meeting. Because I'm telling you, a special meeting costs money. I mean, when we feed 100 people and don't charge you anything, but it comes from your tithes and offering. It comes from Brother Dale not taking all the tithes like some people do. But small churches can't afford to do it. So I just kind of took it as a burden on myself that we're big enough to where we can absorb some of that and give a meeting where people don't have to pay. And like the Father's Day trip and all these other trips that we take, we try to invite people to fellowship. We don't want to be a commune or a cult or someone, you know, off on an island by themselves. We want to fellowship around the Word of God, and we need fellowship. And even those small churches that can't afford to do that, they need fellowship too. So if we can get them to come in here and give them a place to do something that won't cost a lot of money or cost any money, then I think the Lord will bless us. He's already blessed us with the finances to be able to do it. And Brother Dale's always been so just free with letting us do things for people. And we appreciate that, because some places can't do it, like I said, but I appreciate. But we do need to, if we're going to be able to do that, and we're a big enough church, we ought to be able to all pitch in and not be everybody, one person's responsibility to do all the work. So we appreciate you. We appreciate every one of you. We appreciate the tithe that you bring in the storehouse. We appreciate the support we get all the way through. Deacons and elders and all the way down, we really all appreciate the things that you do for this church. So all minds clear. So we're good. Everything's good. Sister Cleta and I were talking a little bit ago, and she's kind of like me. She says, I say what I say, and I'm done. I don't hold no grudges, and I said, I'm exactly the same way. You know that. I say what I'm going to say, and you ain't going to hear me say it no more, unless it happens again. But you say what you say, and then it's hard. And we're going to talk about this next Sunday, because if you bring in brotherly kindness, there is one word that you have got to totally get out of your vocabulary: selfishness. You can't put brotherly kindness and selfishness together. Selfishness has to go. To love your brother, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, all selfishness has to go. So we'll talk about that next Sunday, about being selfish, selfishness, or selfies. So anyway, I may go buy a selfie stick and see what it's like. No, I don't think so. I ain't wasting my money on that. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you give us. We appreciate the time on this earth that we have. Lord, there's millions of people won't see this day end. Father, we pray that you would, as we are listening to you, Lord, I pray that you would give us something that will sustain us in the next Monday, Tuesday, till we come back Wednesday and get rejuvenated, and then Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then get rejuvenated. Father, we have to have that where we're sheep. We have to be led. We have to be shepherded. We have to be told where to go and what to do sometimes. But, Lord, that's all of us. From here all the way to the back, Lord, we want to commit ourselves to you and let you have control of what's going on. Let it not be man's ideas. Man has not built this church, but the Holy Ghost has built this church through men. And we appreciate that, Lord, and we thank you for the guidance that you've given us all these years, and I pray that you'll guide us even more now as we head toward the headstone. We head toward the coming of the king to his queen, and we'll go into the millennium or a wedding supper and then go into the millennium. Father, we long for that day. But, Lord, we've got work to do between now and then. So be with us now, Lord, during the furtherment of this service. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. And, Lord, we spoke yesterday, the day before yesterday, to Brother George Quinn through email. Lord, bless him, comfort him. He's lost the love of his life. And his wife, Lord, and we never got to meet her. I didn't, but some did here, and they say she's a sweetheart. And, Lord, I'll get to meet her. I won't see the old crinkled and gray stooped over and suffering from dementia. I'll see a new girl. But, Brother George, Lord, comfort him, Father. Just wrap your arms around him and love him, because he's loved you. He sure has stood for you all these years. Lord, I pray you stand for him. Just be with each one that's lost spouses and loved ones, Lord. I pray that you'd comfort them, Father, and bless us now as in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Yeah, Brother George, most of you know Brother George Quinn. I was asking him if he was coming over here in August, because you know we have camp meeting, and he's usually the first one. Dad always, he was the first. Soon as that first Sunday after camp meeting, Brother George spoke for us. Well, he's not coming this year, but Brother Keith Reed is. So he's going to take his place, and he's going to preach the first Sunday in August after the camp meeting. But I wanted to make sure to leave it open for Brother George, and Brother George said he just can't get away right now. He just can't leave his kids and leave the church there with Sister Jackie gone. But that's one sincere brother right there, and I'm going to tell you. Y'all know that. You've known Brother George. He's just a solid individual, too. We've known him for many years. So let's just pray for him, though, that God will fill that void that's left by his wife passing. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the Word. God took something that stinks, rotten, sometimes don't look very good, sometimes don't act very good. Hello, somebody. And he decided that's what he's going to work through. I'm going to take flesh and I'm going to work through it. And I know many people, we all struggle with different things, but listen, we're all human. And if you're born again, we're all humans with a new birth. All right? If you're not, you're I hope you're working toward that. But common denominator is we're human. Okay? And we've got human things, and we've got human parts that we have to deal with. We're all, if we get older, you're falling apart. My heavens, I told you the other day, I said, I can see why the older people spend a lot of times in the doctor's office. And I'm just 63, but Mom and Dad and myself and June's, went through the surgery she's went through. I'm like, man. But it's because your body is not getting younger, it is getting older. And it is literally falling apart. Amen. And bless you. But God gave us doctors, praise the Lord, to try to help us prop that thing back up. But it's not going to get rid of. I was reading something the other day. I was looking at some articles about different vitamins, and I'm a vitamin taker. I take more than I did before, but the disclaimer is now you take vitamins, and I'll tell you now, you take vitamins, think about it, you take vitamins, all different, you know, I need K, you need potassium, and you need phosphorus, and we all need these different vitamins for these different things. Vitamins are not a cure. Vitamins will never cure you of anything. It will help you get through your arthritis day. It'll help you get through your day of whatever, whatever. It will help you get through, but it will not eliminate or eradicate cancer or eradicate whatever. But vitamins are, and the reason that I take vitamins too is because you look where Brother Brown says, he said our bodies are falling apart because of what? Food. The food we eat is so perverted. So I'm going to try to help myself. Through processed food, if they suck all this potassium out, I'm going to try to eat a banana, or I'm going to try to eat this or do this. Just kind of life lessons here today. But remember, when you hand somebody a vitamin and say this will cure it, and I don't believe that. And let me tell you something else about vitamins. It's not an instant. Most vitamins you have to take 6 months before they do you any good, start doing you any good. So don't be one of these you pop two in your mouth and then tomorrow go, man, this thing don't work. You got to let your body process it. But listen, God give us that. I believe He gave us vitamins. Amen. I believe He gave us vitamins to make it through, not to cure everything, but to make it through. I understand that more now. Now, some of you young people are looking at me like you always do, like, what are you talking about? One day you'll need something. You'll need an aid, hearing aid, walking aid. Y'all just drink lemonade, and that's about it. But I'm telling you, somebody the other day, we were saying something, and they were trying to get up. Who was that trying? Was it Josh? Somebody was trying to get up out of the floor, and I said, see there? You need some help. Get up out of that floor. Give me a hand. Well. So anyway, God's there to give us a hand. But God decided that He was going to live in this human body. Now, He wasn't going to eradicate the fall, right? To a degree, He's not going to eradicate the fall. This thing's going to be sticky until the time we take a change. Time we take a change, that's when we will revert back to a new body. This body made new. Everybody with me? All right? So we're not looking for sinless perfection. We're not looking if we go up to the statue of perfect man, we can do away with our pills. You understand what I mean? We're not looking for some, like I was saying today, we're not looking at this morning about godliness. Everybody says godliness, and all of a sudden there's a big, I mean, it's just like a big push. You can't be godly and I can't be godly. We're full of mistakes and full of, and who's doing this? You or God? You're pushing it away. Because I read you scripture after scripture after scripture where God's telling us we're already blameless. We're already godlike. We're already deity. Already. Not going to be, but that's the inside person. But it's got to show on the outside. It's got to let that outside man do what the inside man says. All right? So Peter, one of the ones that really needed this statue of perfect man, God gave him the inspiration to tell us to, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Your virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience. The patience got it. These are adds. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. 1 Timothy 3:16, look, without controversies. I'm trying to tell you today there is a controversy about godliness, but it shouldn't be in the bride. There shouldn't be a controversy here. The controversy, yes, let them have that controversy. Let them be, but what they're going to do is, though, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. In other words, we know where it's at. We know how to live it. You can't tell me you don't know how to live godliness when you got the book right here and it's pretty plain. Then God, because of our ignorance, Give us 1,100 sermons through a prophet, a mouthpiece, to take this and to enhance this. Give us the love letter, the in-between. The in-between the lines. How much he really loves us. Not how much he wants to kill us or beat us up. He wants to love us. But he wants us to love us doing what he said. So then if you don't, then like I read this morning, then you are condemned with the world. All right? The whole world is going to be condemned except the bride. Even foolish virgin. Listen, foolish virgin are going to be condemned because they don't go on and receive the Holy Ghost. Brother Brown said they got to go through the tribulation and die. Right? They got to die in the tribulation. So they're over here still. They're not bride. Bride is born again. It goes in the rapture. Doesn't have to go through this. Doesn't have to go through the tribulation. I was thinking the other day. I've told you many times before. Dad had a friend of ours. He's a friend of all of our family. He's really helped us out because he was a solicitor in Hall County for, well, all of his life. His name was Jerry Riley. And Dad saved his life when he was a little boy. He was drowning, and Dad picked him up out of the water and threw him back up on the shore. And he's always worked and done things for us. Well, he didn't make it through heart surgery the other day, and he's 79, and he passed. Well, you know, you think bad about it, but, you know, I was standing in the funeral home, and I looked down, and I thought, there's another one. He will not have to go through the tribulation. He's safely tucked away somewhere. Because I'll promise you, on the day of judgment, he'll come up, and he may never knew nothing about. He was a Christian man, as far as I know, but never accepted the message. Ooh. But what about him coming to, and then Dad's like, hey, this guy's been nice to us, the whole family, for his whole life. He said, all right, come on in. You've done the same to my little ones. You've done it to me. And God has now preserved him and put him over into a dimension, whether it's joy or happiness or whatever. At least he's not here to go through this tribulation. He has been preserved to a place because God knows in his infinite mind, he's going to give him eternal life at the white throne judgment. All right. So I just was praising the Lord inside of me. I'm like, man, there's another one like we were talking about. There's one that God's preserving and putting him up or her up, that waiting for a time that they can be given eternal life and not have to go through the judgment. That's how much God honors me and you. Amen. He'll take them out of this life for you. And you think that's horrible. Sure, it's horrible for his wife and different ones, but they don't understand. They don't understand that was a providence of God to let him not survive that heart surgery. They said he really went through it fine, and he had a couple of blockages, and they did all that and put him back together, and he was fine. Actually sent his wife home and said, hey, everything's good, you know, come back tomorrow, go rest. By the time she got home, they were keeping him alive so she could get back. Something happened in his valves or something, had a couple of valves replaced, and he didn't make it, which is really sad. But you know what? I was joy in my heart that, hey, there's another one that's been put up. Amen. Just for you, just for us, just for Dad, just for our family. He was good to us. And he was good to us without a selfish motive. That's what the thing we got to look at. Without a selfish motive, he was good to us. Now, those are the people that's going to be given eternal life. Now, those that read the Bible and say, I think I'll just be really good to these people because I think I might. No. No, that don't work. Thank you, Brother Darty. That don't work. Simple but profound. That don't work. So without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Where is God? God's in us. All right? As we were talking this morning, and you're on the basis of free moral agency. Let's continue through that real quick. But he tells Abram to be perfect. In other words, lacking nothing. And not so much in physical strength, but in Christian strength, wholesome, sound, complete, morally innocent, having integrity. Now, does that sound like the world today? Does that sound like that whore's forehead that I told you about this morning? No, we're over here in that. We're not over here. Be ye therefore perfect, lacketh nothing, complete. In other words, able to withstand the devil. All right? Sound, wholesome. As Brother John was talking this morning about finances, different things, that there's got to be a, and we did go through the Dave Ramsey course several years ago, pretty much all of us did. But there's a, when you see that Financial Peace University, those two words really don't go together in the world. Financial peace, because they don't have either. But we can have financial peace and also have perfect peace because we're here. And we listen to what God said, not what these people say. All right? Morally innocent, as we were reading this morning. Morally, listen, morally, we're clean. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're a Christian today, you're about as clean as you're going to get. Everybody with me? I mean, you say, well, what do you mean, Brother Wade? Well, you're not going to get an extra eternal life. Okay? You're not going to get an extra eternal life. Now, you're going to get extra gifts. You're going to get extra ads. And you're going to get that Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about later on, maybe next weekend, where it just covers over and it solidifies you and makes you to where you will not fail and not fall. All right? Morally innocent, having integrity. One who is morally and ethically pure. This world can't be that. But what they call pure, though, we call impure. They're pure. They can marry whoever they want to. They can commit adultery. They can divorce, and they can do just whatever. It doesn't really matter over here on this side, but not on this side. Amen. All right, everybody with me? There's the separation, because I don't want to be judged by this. There will be no white throne judgment for this, but they surely will for this group right here. Amen. All right? So godliness is what? Reverence and respect. And that's the way we're going to get. We're going to mold godliness into brotherly kindness next weekend, because that's what brotherly kindness is. It starts with respect. And now, remember, that's all gone. We were talking about a whore's forehead. They don't respect nothing anymore. I mean, zero. They don't respect you. I used to respect my elders. I didn't care if I didn't like them. I shut my mouth and listened if it was an older person talking. Some of y'all are looking at me like you're crazy, but I knew that if I walked up and was talking to somebody, or if an old elderly person was talking, I didn't say nothing. I waited till they was finished. All right? You say, that's silly. No, it's respect. It's teaching. It's getting the right kind of teaching. As me and Brother, Sister Cleta was talking about, remember Brother Brown never said juvenile delinquency. He never said that. He said it was parental delinquency. You're letting them get by with it. Well, praise the Lord anyway. I'm just telling you what he said. Okay, so now fifthly, we're adding godliness, and we've been talking about it, so let's continue on. Brother Ram talks about what? Oh, Brother Ram, I can't do that. He said, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. He didn't say, oh, I can. Bless God, I'm the prophet. I've already done it. No. No, you read in Statute of Perfect Man, he said, teach me, Lord, so that I can teach others. All right? Teach me, Lord, so that I can teach others. Teach me, Lord, all of you, so that you can teach others, so that you can show this stature of a perfect man to your neighbor, to your fellow co-workers. I hope your fellow co-workers know that you're different. Amen? They may not like you, but they know you're different. All right? Now look. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Now, this is over here. That we be not condemned with the world, which is what we've been talking about over on this side. Because we've been instructed. That's what, to me, that's what the fivefold ministry does. It perfects the saints. It takes you from this condemnation. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. We're talking about the seed and the planting of the seed and all that. We'll talk about it in just a second. Because I want to bring an overview that how is it going to help to be godly. To be godly, you can't do it by sitting at home, listening to the tapes. It's good to do that, but you've got to have a fivefold ministry in a church setting, okay, to get you this instruction. Because I was thinking yesterday morning, why do we have questions and answers if we don't need anything? Why do we have questions? if we don't need another man to tell us nothing, if we don't need somebody to come and say, hey, can you clarify that for me? You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. We've all come to a place that, God, you're going to have to tell me what that means because I really don't understand. Amen? Is everybody all right with that? You come to a place. You say, hey, I need some help. If you don't, then bless your heart. But you still got to come to church. You can't take that piece of the Bible out and throw it away. 2 Peter 1 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that what? Pertain unto life and godliness, what we've been talking about. Through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. So God's called us to something. He called us to take of this divine nature of God, or the new birth, and then, look, see, there it is again. There's the separate, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, this group over here. You've escaped that. Because the divine nature of God is not over here. It's over here. And listen, if you're over here, the divine nature of God is not over here, remember. It's over here. We conform to his image. We conform to what he tells us to do. All right? So partaking of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add what? So let's look at this just a minute. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can. But Matthew 13, verse 3, I've got it all down here for you. And I've kind of got it mapped out. Because you look at the, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? Today we have come to a church to just be a member. Did we come here just to see another person? Did we come here to just hear a good exhortation or... or did we come here to hear the Word of God? Amen. I mean the Word of God, not a watered-down substitute version of the Word of God. So when Jesus is standing there, he explains later on, not in Matthew 13, but he explains later on, who is this sower? Now, what is the sower? He's the one that puts all the seed in his pocket, and he goes out and he throws it, right? He's distributing seed, all right? I'm a gardener. It's not going to, you can't just set the bag down at the end of the row and expect to get a line of corn. You got to take that seed and put it in ground, some kind of ground. So let's break it down a little bit right here. The sower is who? The Son of Man or the ministry? Everybody with me? We're under the ministry of the Son of Man right now, all right? The seed is not a little grain of something in this parable. It is that, but it's the Word of God. We know that. Seed is the Word. We know that's everything. All right, that's the sermon you're going to hear. Everybody with me? All right, if you don't agree, just say, hey, I don't know if that's right or not. And the ground that it goes in is you. Yes, sir. All right. It's not that carpet. It's not the pew you're sitting in. It's what's sitting in the pew. It's the ground or your earth. Yes, sir. All right, so you got the sower, the minister. You've got the Word going forth. And you've got the ground that you control what kind of ground it is. I can't. They asked Brother Branham, was talking about yesterday. They asked Brother Branham, said, why do you keep preaching? If this, you know, in other words, if you, they thought he was preaching predestination as just, you know, well, you can, nobody else can be saved, only this amount of people, and that's it. He said, no. He said, I still throw the net because I don't know who's fish and who's snakes. He said, but when I throw the net and I bring the net in, he said, the snakes automatically go back to the water. The fish stay in the net. All right? So he didn't know. Now, by discernment, I'm sure he did know a lot more than any of us would know about who was listening, who was not, who was getting it, and who wasn't. But you know what? He preached anyway. All right? I never heard him stop a sermon and say, all right, y'all not getting any of this. I'm out of here. He did say in one sermon, y'all not getting it, but he kept on preaching. All right? So he was preaching to who? Me. You. All of us that wasn't born at the time. So let's go through this parable just for a minute. I want to help you cultivate your ground. If y'all will wake up, it will help you much more if you listen before falling asleep. Matthew 13, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So a preacher or a minister is going to throw or broadcast. That's what the word sow means. It means to broadcast seed. All right? So it's got to be broadcast. Like I said, it can't stay in his bag. It can't stay in the little bag that comes in from the store. It's got to be broadcast by somebody. And now you got to know where to throw it to. All right? And you got to know where to put it. So you got to be skilled in what you're doing. You don't just walk out there. Now, sometimes if you were planting flowers and stuff, you might. But if you're planting a garden, you know, I map out everything. Y'all know me. I'm mapping everything out. I mean, I got six rows of corn. Because, see, and this is the way I think God does. I got six rows of corn, but now the not the almanac, but you know, common sense will tell you that if you're growing something this tall, Danny, you don't want to grow something this tall beside it off the sun side. Because it don't grow good in shade. So you don't want to plant beans, corn, and the sun come up over there. Now, if the sun comes up over there, you want to plant beans and then corn because one of them grows higher than the other one. All right? Everybody with me? So they see, that's almost like a master builder, as the Bible tells us that we are if we're ministers of the gospel. We know where to put the seed. All right? We know where it needs to go. And by the Holy Ghost, I hope and pray. And I don't say this frivolously. I hope and pray that it's done by the Holy Ghost. Every service that anybody stands up here, that the Holy Ghost leads and takes over, you get the mind of what's going on somewhere else. You don't get it right here a lot of times. You get it somewhere else. But it always hits your row. Kind of tough that we're all planted in rows right now. Row by row. And when he sowed, so when he ministered the word, some word fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. There's a lot that's going to happen in this sermon. You'll never remember a day in your life from this day forward unless you need it. But if you need it, we'll keep reading. Some fell, what? Some of the ministry, some of the word fell upon stony places. You walked in here with an attitude. You walked in here with a stony heart. You walked in here with an ought against your brother or sister. I'm telling you, folks, because this seed planting is planting to the seed of the kingdom, children of the kingdom. Who's the children of the kingdom? Bride. So this is not worldly people. This is what you bring into this service every Sunday, every Wednesday. You bring some kind of ground. You either bring stony ground, you either bring thorny ground, and oh, haven't we met some of those people? Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, but because they had no deepness of earth, you really didn't take it the way you should have. And Satan is going to steal your victory from that. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Have we been scorched a few times in sermons? I'll raise mine. You can raise yours if you want to. I was scorched by the sun, the S-O-N. Amen. We need that. You know, it's kind of a fine line. You want the sun to come up. Your plants are not going to survive without sunlight. But if they get too much sunlight, it'll burn them and kill them. All right, so when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, because you didn't do the little things. Because remember, roots you can't see. Everybody with me? Roots you can't see. They're in the ground. But what comes up out of the ground is a production of what the life that's in that root. Same way with us. Am I getting somewhere? Same way with us. All right, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away and died. And some fell among thorns. Our attitude. And the thorns spring up and choke them. Who's them? Us. But other fell in good ground. Today you may walk out and say, I didn't get a thing. That wasn't for me. He was talking about me. He was, you know, you can be all as thorny as you want to. But you can also say, hey, man, that was good ground. That was really good ground. Because me planting a garden, I try to find the best ground I can to get the thing. Because you want the best opportunity to get something to grow. Well, I want the best opportunity here to get something to grow. All right, so that's why you try to lay out the fertilizer. That may not be too well. You lay out the fertilizer, right? You get the best soil you can find, and then you water it. But look, but other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Now, wait a minute. All these other ones didn't bring forth no fruit. Never made it to a full stature of a plant. Yet they had potential. Jesus didn't say, now I picked up some seed in this bag and then the next people I picked up in. He said, no, the seed is the word of God. Amen. All right, so it's one word that goes out. Whether you take it or not, or you can let it roll off your back. I like what one minister said one time. He said, now if we're sowing seed, and said, if you're not accepting that, said, it just bounce on top of you and just bounce over onto your neighbor and maybe he'll get a good blessing out of it. And that's the way it is, you know. Because you say, well, that wasn't for me. And that other person sitting beside you said, well, it was for me. Well, what happened was you had some stony ground maybe. If you throw that, I was throwing seed yesterday. I'm just going to repent. I was throwing seed yesterday in planting my Ford Hook lima beans, and they're big old beans. Well, you know, you put like two to a hill. Well, I'm standing here putting two, and them things bounce like rubber. I'm sorry. They just bounce right out of the, a couple of them just bounce right out of the, why? Because of hard ground. Now, I had some soft ground over here that was real, didn't have any rocks in it at all. Them little seeds just went bloop, 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 two by two. But when I started over here, I put one and it would literally bounce a foot all out of the furrow. Yeah, Brother John, I was a little bit ill about it. Because I'm like, come on, I'm dropping them right here. Well, they'd hit something stony and guess what? Out it went. So I had to reach and get up. God has to reach every once in a while and get us out of our mess and put us back in the row that we need to be in. All right, but others fell in good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, 60 and 30. Wow, what a production rate. All right, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said, why speaketh you in parables? He said unto them, because it is given unto you to you. So now who is this given to? You to know the mystery of the kingdom. So it's given to who? Us sitting in the pews. Us sitting in the rows today. It's given to us to know the mystery of what? Godliness, brotherly kindness, faith, virtue, knowledge. Not like the world, but like God said. All right? But to them it is not given. So whatever's going forth, how many times have I told you? I was thinking about this when I got this thought here. I thought, man, just bring a whole group of people with you. Y'all invite a couple of your friends from work or some of your family that ain't born again or some of your family that's good. Bring them in here and let them sit and listen for about a service. They won't know half what we're talking about. And the other half, they're like, no way, man. No. Y'all a cult. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. And you can read it to them right out of black and white out of the Bible. Absolutely. And they're like, no, that ain't it. Why? Because they're over here. They got a horse forehead. Yes. You're not going to teach me anything. This is the way it is. But then you got us over here that's in good ground. Amen. Amen? Amen. See, therefore I speak to you. Whosoever hath to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance, these people. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away. Even what he's got. The joy is lifted off to be put on you. Wow. Think about that. God's going to protect his kids. Amen. God's going to protect his kids. He's not going to give a glory or give an honor to somebody who don't deserve it. God's not that way. He's a righteous judge. But the Bible tells us we're kings and priests. Amen. Not this group. Listen, they're worthy to rule their cosmos. They're worthy to rule Satan's Eden. Praise the Lord, but not us. We've been called out of that, and now we rule as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Think about that. There is nothing on this side that's going to carry into another dimension except number five. We have no continuing city. This is not continuing over here. This over here is a future home. This is an eternal city that we're going to. Therefore, speak unto them in parables. And that's what it would be if you and I were preaching today and a group of people comes in from another place. They would say, what is this great mystery? What is this parable that you're speaking? You speak things that we don't understand. And you know why? Because they don't have the Holy Ghost, just like at this moment, those disciples didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they didn't have anything for the quicken. But it was potential. They held all this in their heart. And I'll promise you on the day of Pentecost that thereafter, they knew what God was talking about. They knew what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about sowing this seed. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and you shall not perceive. You can talk to them till they're blue in the face, but unless you decide to put yourself in good ground, it's just going to be like rocks. It's going to just bounce off of you. It's going to dry you up. It's going to blow you away. And you're just going to, I don't say be lost, but you're just going to have, I want victory. There's too much defeat going on. I want some victory. All right, well, don't stay over here. This is all defeated. Every bit of it. There's not even a little bright spot nowhere. Over here is all bright. All right, so let's transfer ourselves over to there. Let it be your choice. And in them is fulfilled the prophet, talking about hearing they shall not understand, seeing they shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they just closed them. Haven't you ever seen you start talking to somebody and you talk to them about the true word of God, or you talk to them even just about living good? They don't literally close their eyes, but you know they've just closed it off. Some of y'all do the same thing here. If you don't like what's going on, you just close her off. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. But the seeds being sown, it's according to what ground you brought, not mine, yours. What corner, what ground you brought is who's going to get in today. All right? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they just closed them. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ear and be, in other words, converted. That's what it says. Converted. People are afraid of being converted. Tell me that's a lie. It's not. People are afraid when you start telling. Tell me about the religion stuff. I might have to change. And then even the ones that are religious, that we talked to Horace Forehead this morning, even those that are religious said, hey, don't talk to me about this cutting hair business. God doesn't mind. I said, well, he wrote it in his Bible. You don't talk to me about it. Talk to God about it. Okay? All right? If not, you'll stay over here. And you close your eyes and you close your ears. Listen. And should understand with their heart. Look, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. You know, that was the problem with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was like, hey, I've done it all. I've done every bit of it. Jesus said, you lack one little thing. And do you know that one thing put him in hell? Come on, somebody. That one thing he couldn't do put him in hell. Not all the good stuff. Not all that other Ten Commandments. He said, I've kept it from my youth. Jesus said, you lacketh one thing. Sell everything you got and follow me. Oh, followed. No, because, no. Now, Jesus, you got a reputation. I've got a reputation. You've got a reputation. I'm sure not going to give up my reputation to go with your reputation. That's what he was saying. And Jesus was just like, sorry, I can't do you no good. And then the Bible tells us that where he ended up. He ended up in hell. And should understand. So people are afraid. Less than any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted. And I should what? Heal them. That's spiritual healing, not so much natural healing. There's people in this message that scared to death of this statue of perfect man. If not, they would preach it. For those of you that are awake, there are people that are scared of the statue of perfect man because they have to live a different life than the normal. I'm talking about normal message life. There's a higher plane. We sing what? Lead me on to higher ground. Amen. Not just the ground that I had the seed planted in. You know, the seed I planted the other day, several weeks from now, it's going to come up. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to walk away from it. I'm going to still make sure it's watered, and I'm still going to fertilize it. I'm still going to take care of it through the whole process till I get some good beans out of it and some good corn. I'm going to be with it the whole time, all right? Same way with the Lord. He's with it the whole time. Through the ministry, through the fivefold ministry, he watches you go from what? Stalk or shoot to stalk, corn, ear, and full maturity, all right? And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Come on. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things you see. And I'm talking about us today, 2023. Because you and I are a fulfillment of every prophet in the Bible. They were only looking for the Messiah. And he was sitting there and they didn't know who he was. Okay? And rejected him and killed him. Now you and I are past that. If we don't reject him, we're past that. So we take what Jeremiah says, Isaiah says, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Paul and Peter and everybody understand what I'm saying? We've got all that. They didn't. When they were sitting here listening to Jesus, they had the Old Testament and that was it. Which was some of the major prophets. But he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things you see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, he's fixing to break it down a little more for them, okay? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now you say, oh, now, Brother Wade, that you said this morning you can't lose your Holy Ghost. You can't lose the Holy Ghost. But remember, you got to look at this heart. Remember, Ezekiel, you get two parts of a heart. Everybody with me? He softens up that old stony heart so he can then birth you if you continue on. Right. Amen? Right. Remember, then he puts his spirit into your heart to make it soft and pliable. That's not what this is talking about. Catches away that which was sown in his heart. Because a lot of people come to sanctification and they can't go any further. Because they have a heart condition. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth what? The word, the ministry, into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word. Now here we go. He that heareth the message, heareth the minister, and anon with joy receive it. Woo! That was a sermon. Hallelujah. Woo! That was good. Praise the Lord. Regina Harline was dancing. She was whooping and hollering. But Monday morning, And yet he hath not root in himself. What is root? Grounded. That puts you in there and keeps you in. The roots is vitally important to keep you upright. You lose your roots, you fall. Right? Come on, somebody. You lose your roots, you fall. And yet he hath no root in him, but endureth for a little while. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And for those of you that don't come to church, it just keeps getting worse. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word. Now, how are you condemned? You're not condemned by the world. You're condemned by the word. Right? By and by, he is offended. Happens a lot, doesn't it? Get offended. People get offended and out of here. I'm just reading what the Bible says. He also that receives seed, or the word, among thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this world. Well, I got to stay home because my cat's sick. I got to stay home because I got friends coming in. Yeah, your friends can go by in the house by yourself, by their cell phone Sunday. You coming to church. But most of y'all don't do that. So, but you're killing your testimony. This whole thing about a statue of perfect man, to me, is testimony. It's all about a testimony. It's about the world seeing that you live different than they do. And the reason you live different is because you're not better. You weren't born in a hospital that was totally sanitized. No, we were all born the exact same way. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but we have come to a place where we heard the word of God. It sparked something in our heart. Then we said, God, now I want to live different. Yes, sir. You got to want to live different. If you don't, you're going to be in this group right over here. Because it's easy to be in this group right over here because 99% of the world's in this group right here. You got to be that 1% that's over here. That takes trials and tribulations and counts it all joy. When you fall into diverse, many temptations. Seems like these people over here, they just, everything's good. Yeah, everything's good for a moment. Doesn't the Bible say sin for a season? You just got a season of time. What are you going to do for that time? This time down here is just a very short period of your real life. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Okay. Well, let's think about it then, how we live our life here. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of it. What does the thorn do? Number one, a thorn does, or a weed does, it takes, and it doesn't actually kill the plant unless you let it get big enough and it'll choke it. What does it do, though? It takes the nutrients that you're supposed to get. And it puts it in something that don't produce. Because remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That same rain that gives it to the plants, the same one that gives it. That's why we try to weed our garden. Or you need to weed around your trees. If you got some trees that want to grow, get all the other little trees out from under it. Get all the little trees away from it because they're sucking nutrients out of the ground. I mean, that's just in the natural, but the same thing in the spiritual. Are you letting somebody or something suck your life out of you? And it's going to be a non-producer. If it's, thank you, every time it'll be a non-producer. There is no time in my life that I've ever had a garden and I look and see that this thorn comes up and we've got thorns on it and all of a sudden, there's corn on it. No, it is that plant. It's not going to change. Now, by the transforming power of God, you change. But by the transforming power of God, you change, not you. You're still a kookaburra until he puts that wheat life in you. All right, and cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Look, the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. And he becomes not dead, unfruitful. That's why I do pluck all that stuff out from around my beans and potatoes. Because, listen, the more you get away from them, that more nutrition is going to go into your plant. Come on, somebody. It's going to come into your plant. And instead of getting 2 pieces of corn off of the stalk, you get 3 or 4. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. It's because of the nutrition that you get in the roots. And don't let somebody beside you suck all that. Because they're not corn seed. We love them. We cherish people all the time. But if they're non-seed, as Brother Bram said, there's nothing to quicken. Non-seed is non-seed. Let God work that out, though. You want them. You want them by the transforming power of God. You want them to come over here and become corn. But if they decide to stay thorns, they're going to be a thorn. And they're going to be a thorn in your side. The deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed in good ground. If you come in this morning and said, Lord, forgive me of what I've done this week. If you want a good formula, every time you, before you walk in that door, repent. I don't care if you've been asleep for 3 days. You've had a dirty thought in there somewhere. And actually, if you've been asleep for 3 days and somebody wakes you up, you're going to have a problem with the person that wakes you up. So anyway. Right? So there's your problem. Repent. Repent before you come through the door. Just repent. Then you can receive. You know what you've done by the transforming power of God? You've took the thorns and killed them. You've took all the rocks out of your garden. God has. And guess what? Good, furrowed. Oh, I love the good smell of furrowed ground. I love it. Man, you go out there and smell it. And it's a smell that, to most people, it don't smell worth anything. But, man, I know the difference in the smell of good ground and clay and all that other kind of soil. And I know a lot of you do, too, that raise. You know, you get that potting soil, and as soon as you open the bag, you go, oh, man. I'm fixing to eat this, but I'm not going to eat it in this form. I'm going to eat it when it becomes a plant, you know, comes up through my plant and becomes a tomato. Or whatever you want to say, but hey, that's where your plant gets your nutrition. It's from that. But he that receiveth seed in good ground, I've come today, Lord, furrow my life out, plant some good seed, and then let me work on it Monday and Tuesday. Help me work on it Monday so that a thorn don't come in there and choke me out. Or help me that there's no stony heart. There's no bitterness. I'm telling you, brotherly kindness, when you take the selfish and all that stuff part out, we'll read some of that where Jesus told him, said, you know, it said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Right? And that's what the Bible says. I think I got it in here. Jesus said, now you've heard of old. There's a new administration now. You've heard of old. Then an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, but I say unto you now, if they smack you on that cheek, reach over and give them the other one. If a man wants your coat, give him your cloak. In other words, your shirt and your coat. That's receiving seed into good ground is he that heareth the word. Look, and understandeth it. Wow. Which also beareth fruit. This is the only time in this parable that something has grown enough to give fruit. But when it brings fruit, it doesn't just bring one apple. Thousands of apples. Hundredfold, 60, and some 30. We've already been, I think I've got, let me read that scripture. I think we've already, everybody understand what a horse forehead is? Okay, if you don't, then we'll go over it again. We'll do it next Sunday, but let's get down here where Jesus is talking about in brotherly kindness. Because we know what brotherly kindness is, right? Love for brother, our sisters, right? And then we'll be dismissed. We'll just want to find this right here. A new commandment I give unto you, John 13:34. that you love one another. Wait a minute. That's a new commandment. That's what Jesus said. And a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now he puts it a little bit, not just, well, you know, shake hand, God bless you, brother. No, you got to love them like God loved them. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to the other. Here it is right here, Matthew 5, verse 37, then we'll close. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these, look, cometh of evil. You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whoso shall smite thee on thy right cheek, give him the other one also. And if any man will sue you in the law, take away your coat, let him have it also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go two. Now, does that sound selfish? There's nothing selfish about that. Bless God, I ain't. If you go a mile, I ain't going two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the Old Testament. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless, this is hard. This is hard. From here back to there. This is hard. Love your enemies. No, we like to just absolutely put them under the message bus. You know, make the little list and throw them under the bus. Message bus. We're in the message, okay? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, wait a minute. This is Jesus talking. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them. I ain't going to ask for a show of hands. Embarrass us all. Pray for them in your list of prayer. Have you got all the people that despitefully use you on that prayer list? No. We pray for the people we like. Hey, y'all either asleep or quiet, one of the two. I'm reading you what the Bible says. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And don't be praying, Lord, take this person out of the way. Please, get rid of this person. Lord, you can do it. He might get rid of you. You might be the one that's in the way. I'm telling you, though, I'm not trying to give you a, but this is a new doctrine. This is a new commandment. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Easy to love somebody that loves you. Do not even the publicans do the same. If you salute your brethren only, have you ever been shunned? How does it feel? Then stop shunning others. Told y'all, this is going to get rough. When you get to brotherly kindness, Brother Brown does make a quote, and I'll quote it to you next week, where he says you get all the way up here, and then God requires you to have brotherly kindness. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same thing. Then he wraps this whole thing up, this whole sermon with, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm going to read you one quote. Come on, let's stand our feet, brother. Bring the musicians with you. Oh, here's Brother Branham. This is 1956, Divine Love and Sovereign Grace. We'll back up to all this in a minute. Now, we are faced in a day. Now, this is 1956, all right? 1956. I mean, people would wave at you in 1956. Not with the middle finger either. Now, we are facing a day that is prophesied to us that brotherly love would become a strange thing among people. And it's to my humble belief that that is the greatest of all the gifts there is in God's Bible. If the Lord Jesus, this is Brother Branham, the prophet of the end time, if the Lord Jesus should stand on the platform tonight, look me in the face and say, I'm going to give you your choice. You can be a great person, a great minister. I'll give you a gift of preaching the gospel, or I'll give you the gift of teaching the word, or I'll give you the gift of divine healing. I'll give you the gift of prophecy, or I'll make you a prophet, or any of the fine gifts of faith, any of the gifts that's in the Bible. I'll give them every one to you, but then I will withhold love from you, or either give you love and withhold the gift. I'd say, Lord, take all these gifts and let me have the love. For no matter how many gifts we got, they will never do us any good except the love of God is the motive behind the gift. We must have love. Must have love. We'll read it next Sunday. There's one where Brother Ram said that's the greatest gift. And as you talk, he's saying it right here. It's the greatest gift I have. Give me love. Unfeigned love for the brethren. That's what Paul said. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and why we're raised up for. Praise the Lord. For the original life, the original life,
what?
The original
word.
Seed, the original word
and
is what I believe.
We have been called
the Son of Man is revealed,
and we've
the seventh seal is unveiled. The original life,
the original seed.
We are the Word made flesh today.
That's
this is what
the scriptures
say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seed.
I'm starting to call a new vehicle, Lord. Now pray that you'll protect it, Lord, and keep it safe. Let it run fine and well, Lord. And may there be a testimony to this, Father, and I pray that you bless in Jesus' name.
We were chained down in the past, true jubilee has sounded, and we
have
responded to our God. Who's the original life?
Sing it to him.
The original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seed. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentiles' day will soon be over.
Glory, and we stand here too, Lord.
To
she stood for all these years for you, Lord. Now I pray that you'll stand for her and her family, Lord. Wherever these prayer cloths go, may they be a change, Lord. May there be a change for the good, Lord, and you'll heal our brother, Lord. Save his soul, too, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that this will take place, Lord, and we'll get a good report in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that.
The original seed, God's attributes were manifested
to
his bride in
this
last stage. We have got the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and why we're raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seed. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original light, the original light, the original seed.
We pray.
The original Word.
Amen.
Okay. Is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original light, the original seed. Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original light, the original light, the original seed. The original Word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seed. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us. Translation in this hour. Gentile days will soon be over. Glory, hallelujah to our God, who's the original light, the original light, the original seed. The original Word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed.
Now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Holy Ghost will take that away, Lord. And to bless our brother, Lord, and give him strength for the things he has to do and the decisions he has to make, Lord, in his life and in his family. I pray that you'll be with him now and cover him by the blood, Lord. Give him supernatural understanding on how to handle all these situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The original light, the original seed,
the original light,
the original seed.
That's what it's all come back to.
Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed.
I like original. Don't you?
Yes.
I like original. When it says heirloom on my little seed packet, that means it's got life in it that it'll grow again. If you take an heirloom and put it up and you take the seeds and you put it up to the next year, it'll grow. This hybrid stuff,
right,
it might bring up something, but it'll be so stunted. That's why Brother Brown said, original is always the best.
Amen.
Hybridizing the Word of God is not the same thing. That's why we had to get back to the original, so that when that corn of wheat was put in the ground, that the corn of wheat that got to the end of that shaft or the end of that ear was the same as the original. And that's what we've come to in this Word of God. We've come to the original, what God had in His mind before the foundation of the world. It has met us today. Not just this 24-hour. I'm talking about today, this day that we come in, the message of the hour. He's met us with the original seed. He's met us with the original Word. And He said, I will restore. We can't restore. He said, I will restore. So let's just believe that. Yes, sir.
The original Word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seed. Hail the original light, the original seed. God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are, what we're raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life, the original life. The original. original seed, the original word.
For him in this hour that he wants to see his family, his, even his friends, Lord, I claim that, some that Brother Colley's known for years, he sure wants them to know you, Lord. But it seems like they get further and further away. Lord, if there's anything left, I pray that our brother will be able to transfer that to them, Lord, by testimony and by telling them about you, Lord. I pray that you would guide his mouth, guide his words, Lord, that what to be said will be quickened in their heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just pray we do that, right? Right word. Okay.
The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original lie. The original seed.
That terminology of that song, the world can't understand that. What do you mean, Son of Man? What do you mean, opening of the seals? Well, guess what? It's in the Bible. Amen. It's not something we came up with. It was already written in the Bible. It's just what happened was their eyes were blinded by the God of this evil age. Amen. And put everybody over here then that just accepts everything. Everything's good. Status quo. Just accept everybody.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No. Yes, sir.
Understanding, he has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original lie, the original seed. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power.
And Lord, we know one thing for sure, that you know his mind and what he needs to be told. And we know, Lord, that he's lonely, Father. Now I pray that you comfort him in this hour, Lord, and bless him. Just be with him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep, send it to him. Okay. Okay. I think Mama probably got it, but I'll get it for you. Okay.
Is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original lie. The original seed.
Let's be more aware that when we walk through that door, we're bringing good ground in here. We're bringing good ground, good fertile ground. Not just something that you've hurried up and said two prayers before you walked in the door. No, you just pray. Without ceasing. Pray every day, every hour. Always think something. You've always got, you know, something will come to my mind and you'll say, Lord, I can't think about that right now. All right? You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do, and because you're doing something else. But you say, Lord, bring it back to my memory. And he will bring it back to you. If that's him, he'll bring it back to your memory. So he'll help you. He'll help you if you'll ask. If you're not going to ask, he's not obligated to help you. He's not going to help this group because they don't know what they're talking about. They're unbelievers. The reason we believe is because we're in this group over here. We believe what God said. So, Lord bless you. Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will be here downstairs for Mom's birthday. Has some cake and ice cream. Go with the Lord. I hope you had a good time today. I did. I always have a good time coming here. And trying to help people, help you every once in a while too. So we appreciate you. Thank you for all you do. Remember all the stuff that's coming up and all the meetings that we have. And may the Lord bless you. But we'll go downstairs as soon as we're done and have some cake and ice cream and wish her a happy birthday. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Father, we've come to the close of two services, Lord. And I pray that what's been spoken, Lord, will sink deep into our heart. It'll take root. And the roots will be deeper and deeper. And Satan will not be able to cut this down. Lord, your church, not just this one in this building, but your bride, somebody is going to prevail. Someone is going to bring forth exactly what the Bible said. Someone is going to bring forth a hundredfold of fruit, take a body change, and go in a resurrection, and then in a rapture. Father, I pray that it's us, and I pray that we do what's required of us, that we'll do the right thing, that it will come in the right motive and objective, and that we will keep our minds centered on you, Lord. We'll forget all the things of the world, forget all the mistakes that we make, forget all the trials and tribulations. Lord, I pray that you would give us all supernatural strength. Everyone that's been prayed for, all the ones even that are not here, Lord, that we couldn't physically touch, we pray for each and every one of them, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the ability to pray and the ability to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you for our mother, Lord, being coming to another birthday tomorrow, Lord. I pray that you'd be with her and keep her safe. And as we go downstairs, Lord, may we ever believe and know that you are the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ is your name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Whoa.